major crime way down in New York City. I mean, the statistics are pretty staggering how far down it is, while other places like Chicago and even to a lesser extent Richmond have found that their violent crime rate is way up. Joining us to talk about it here at 8:06 on News Radio 1140 WRVA, Jeffrey Butts, Director of the Research and the Evaluation Center at John Jay College of Criminal Justice. I mean, this is pretty staggering, Jeffrey, what's happened in New York City. They recorded 335 murders in 2016. In 1990, they had 2,262.
It is staggering, and it differs from around the country. But the real difference, it's hard to track because we don't have crime data at a local enough level in all cities to really compare. So when you look at New York, it's not that New York is safer. It's that there's a lot of safe neighborhoods now in New York.
Okay, so the safety zones, if you will, have expanded. They're still very dangerous places in New York. And what you're telling me is that the amount of areas where that dangerous crime activity is happening have gotten smaller.
Exactly. If you look at small data, so not even census tract, but a few block square areas, and you count the number of violent crimes or homicides in those areas, you can find neighborhoods still in New York that have homicide rates of 100 per 100,000, which is comparable to the worst neighborhoods in Chicago and comparable to some of the worst areas of the world.
All right. So what do you maybe in New York City, what is it, the gentrification, if you will, of the city?
It could be, but there's so many different factors that contribute to this. It's really hard to just point to one thing, and the problem with the crime debate right now is that there's so many people who want to point to just one thing. So if it's the police, they say, we did it. If it's city government, it says it's because of our wonderful housing policies. If you're in an organization that works at the community level, you say, we did it because we're changing our neighborhoods, and everyone wants to claim credit. And it's just hard to assemble enough data to really answer those questions with a high degree of accuracy.
By the same token, nobody wants to take the blame, do they?
Exactly, yes.
All right, well, here, you know, Chicago, I mean, the crime levels in Chicago are staggering. Of course, the big story right now, Jeffrey Butts, that's making the news is the hate crime that occurred in Chicago, where four teens who evidently have zero remorse tortured, basically, a young white, 18-year-old white kid who has special needs. I mean, that's about as heinous as it possibly gets. So,
yeah, and there are disgusting, horrible crimes occurring all the time. And the problem is that you get rather, I don't want to say immune to it, but when you focus on crime all the time, you really need to learn to look past the individual incidents. Because if you lurch from one horrible crime to the next, you'll never get a grasp on the whole problem.
All right. Well, as you take a look at what the whole problem is, why we're seeing increases in some places, decreasing in others, are there any trends that you can see that gives you any idea here about why we're seeing these changes in these stats?
Sure. Well, the first lesson to think about is there are some neighborhoods in this country that are incredibly safe, where people feel comfortable, where everyone's healthy and happy. And what is it about those neighborhoods that differs from the neighborhoods where that's not true? And I think if you came up with a list of characteristics, you would not first on your list would not be the presence of police. So policing is very important once you have a crime problem or a violence problem. But you can build a strong neighborhood without constant policing. But what it takes is healthy schools, healthy families, strong neighborhoods, standard of living. And that's, as a society, we just choose not to do that for every neighborhood. So we spend a lot of money in the downtowns and wealthy neighborhoods where the taxes are flowing. And in poor neighborhoods, we just neglect them and say, well, we'll just deal with that through the police. And I think that's part of the problem.
Well, the other problem is, though, that you can pour money in. Certainly plenty of cities have poured money into these poverty-stricken areas. They build arenas and do other things there. But if the level of income, if the poverty level, the people who actually have to live in those neighborhoods, if that doesn't rise, you're not really changing anything for them.
Exactly. You don't make safe neighborhoods by huge public works projects. And you don't even create safe neighborhoods by dumping money into individual families. You need to build the social skills and the social structures to be able to take advantage of income. And that's really complicated. And again, it's something we as a society choose not to do.
We could spend the next hour talking about that aspect of it and probably just barely touch on it. All right.
Exactly.
Good to get your insight, though. I appreciate it. Jeffrey Butts, Director of the Research and Evaluation Center at John Jay College of Criminal Justice, joining us here on News Radio 1140 WRVA.